First, it's a gruesome tale and the bloodiest attack on Americans in Mexico for years. At least 9 people killed, shot up, their cars torched by suspected drug cartel members in northern Mexico. The 3 women and 6 children belonged to the Le Baron family, members of a breakaway Mormon community that settled in the region several decades ago. Another family member who found the bullet-riddled and scorched vehicle on the road posted a video to social media from the scene.
This is for the record. Nita and 4 of my grandchildren are burnt and shot up.
Well, the attack prompted US President Donald Trump to offer help to Mexico to defeat the cartels. It's time they were wiped off the face of the earth, he said. But back to the scene, 9 dead, but there were also survivors. 8 children lived, and their story is remarkable. Tiffany Langford is a cousin to all who were involved. She was born in Mexico, but is also a US citizen. She travels back and forth regularly. I asked her first about those children that lived.
Yeah, praise God. Once we heard there were the ones that passed away, we were still missing 2 vehicles of people. We had no idea where they were. They ended up finding both the vehicles. And so Christina was one of the younger mothers there. She had her little baby Faith, we thought was dead for this whole time, but they ended up going to her vehicle and found her alive on the floor of the back seat of her vehicle. So I don't know how she got there, but she was just laying there, and she's about 8 months old, I think. And then my Aunt Donna, she was killed, and she was in her Suburban as well with 9 of her kids. And she had 2 of them passed away as well. They were killed and they were left in the vehicle. But one of the older kids, his name is Devin, he was able to escape with 6 of the other kids. And they actually went and hid somewhere in behind a tree in some bushes, and they hid for most of the day. He was trying to get them to safety, but they were all wounded. Well, most of them were wounded, and then the baby, they didn't know it was wounded, but he ended up being wounded too. So they couldn't all leave, and they were so scared they had to hide. So Devin ended up running and walking about 15 miles back to our home, to his home. And he actually got shot at as he was running down the street. I don't know why, but these cartels saw him and shot at him, and he had to jump off the road and hide in the bushes for a while before he could feel safe again to move. So he ended up showing up to the ranch and just surprised everybody because they had no idea. At that point, they didn't know that the 2 mothers were dead. They had no idea where they were. They thought at that point that they were kidnapped because we hadn't heard from them. And we just figured that's what happens when cartels come and they kill people, they take people. And they'd also received a ransom call. So I don't know where the ransom call came from or why they did, because they all were just left there to die. But this kid showed up and he told the family where the other kids were, that they were alive. So after, it took way too long because they had the mafia still out there and they didn't have weapons to go and fight them off at all. They can't just go fight the mafia, my little town of people. And they didn't have the soldiers from Chihuahua or Sonora there yet to help us. So they tried to figure out how to get there, and they ended up, they did end up going up there with Devin. Devin showed them where they were at, and they found 5 of the kids that had been there, and they were wounded. They were obviously traumatized, but they were all alive. And so we were so grateful they found them. They picked them up. They had to take a couple of them straight to the emergency room because they had been shot pretty bad. And the scary part was at that point was that one of the little girls, she was 9, her name was Kenzie. She had been shot as well, and she was one of the ones who could actually walk because she was shot in the arm. And so she went off to search for help again. So she left right before it got dark. And so when they got to the kids, she wasn't there. So we were all praying again and frantically searching across the mountains. They took a couple hours to actually find her. And the poor little girl, she's been through so much. She's so strong, though, and she had blisters all over her feet from her shoes. She had to take them off because she was just wandering the mountains, the Sonoran mountains, by herself in the dark, and they ended up finding her, praise God. And
So how many is that have survived then?
So there's 8 that have survived. The 7 children from Aunt Donna survived. 2 of them died. And then the 1 from Christina survived, the baby in the back seat.
And can you describe the area? Because you're talking about sounding very familiar with the cartels being present and the threat. I mean, is it an area where you constantly feel threat?
So Mexico is, it just depends on where you live. There's some places in Mexico. I've been going back and forth to Mexico my whole life. I was actually born there, but I am American as well. And I mostly lived in the States. So we had like a summer home kind of is what it was. And we didn't even go there every summer, my family. But so it just depends where you are. There's been a lot of mafia stuff that's gone on in Chihuahua in the past, like 10 years-ish. There's been a couple deaths, but it's never been, it was a really big deal. My family actually there went and petitioned the government, and they made a big scene about it when 2 of my cousins were killed. They were older men, but they had also been fighting against the mafia, like in the politics, trying to make a difference somehow so that they could help the surrounding communities that were being bothered by the cartels. So they were kind of not involved in the mafia, but they were involved in trying to stop the mafia. And so there was a little bit more, it felt, obviously it was heartbreaking, but it also felt like more, you could see why they did it. This one, we still don't understand what was happening or why they would attack innocent women and children. People tried saying that they kind of just got caught in the crossfire of a war.
Yeah, we heard. Is that viable?
We don't really know. We can't say because we obviously haven't talked to the mafia, but the way that it looks from what all my uncles who were the ones that were arrived on the scene of the burning car, they arrived on the scene of the car of the vehicles that had been shot at the other two. They say that they heard that there was some more gunshots and fire after that, but at that point there wasn't a war that had started. Nothing had happened. And so when my cousins were driving on the road, people were like, well, they're just the cartel. They're trained to shoot when they think that they're mafia and they know how to kill automatically. But the story just doesn't line up because the way the one vehicle was shot so much, it was seriously just loaded with bullets. And they think that the way that it's burnt, that it was torched after. And we don't know. I mean, people are speculating why they would torch it. Maybe they just wanted to cover it all up because it was such a gruesome thing with the mom and her 4 little sweet kids that were killed in that one.
Mm.
And but the way that it works, mafia just, you know, they fight against each other. You really can't trust the cartel. And we had our ranch in Sonora, and we've really never had any issues with the mafia there. And so we, like some of my cousins, they know of them. And so they've met them. They're like, hey, we're not going to bother you. We're here to protect this part of Sonora. And so they're not involved in the mafia at all. They just know that we're not really worried about them all the time. So I grew up living, going back and forth there, never really feeling unsafe, besides that there have been instances where people have been chased or the soldiers. But the thing about Mexico is, like, I'll tell my friends, I'm like, I feel like if I called the police in Mexico, I don't know if they're going to help me or if they're going to kill me, because you just never know, because the soldiers, there have been so many deaths with soldiers. You just never know who's involved in the mafia or who's corrupt. And so I don't trust the soldiers or anybody down there, really.
So do you have your own security at the ranches?
No, we just have our families and we don't have really police there. Up at town, there's like a 20 minutes away, there's another town, and then 30 minutes away, there's another town. And our family are friends with all the townspeople. It's a really peaceful place to live, actually. That's why this whole situation is such a shock, because there's never been anything that has even come close to a death or an injury that has had to do with our family and the cartels. So the fact that this has happened, and it happened about 20 minutes outside of our town, like it's almost in our town. It's unbelievable, because they know who we are, and they know that they never mess with us. So
do you fear, do you and your family members now fear that this terrible incident, such an uptick, such a violent expression against your family. Do you fear this might indicate something has fundamentally changed, that there is a brand new threat to you?
I don't know. I can't say. I think most of my family doesn't think that it's a threat specifically to our family and to our ranch. They think that it's between the two mafia groups, which is Chihuahua, the state of Chihuahua and the state of Sonora. They've always clashed heads and they've never been able to win the battle between each other. And so people that are doing this case, they're investigating it. They're assuming that it was the Chihuahua cartel who snuck over the mountains in the night on foot and came and lay waiting to ambush people. And so when my uncle showed up to the site of his grandkid's death of the burning vehicle, they found the vehicle. And well, my cousin showed up first. His son showed up. He's about 19 with one of his guy friends. He showed up and the vehicle, they heard the explosion. They saw the smoke from wherever they were. They were way off, but they still saw the smoke. And they're like, oh my goodness, something exploded. So they ran to see what it was. And they noticed that it was their mom's Suburban. And they're like, oh, they're freaking out, but it's on fire. And they couldn't, it was so burning. They couldn't touch it. They couldn't do anything. They saw the bullet holes, all the bullet shells that were right there next to the vehicle. So obviously the guns were close enough to the vehicles that they weren't just shooting from a distance. And, so they just took off. They're like, there's probably people hiding in the trees. So when they came back with my uncle and with a couple other people, the Sonora mafia were there, the Sonora cartel. And they were freaking out. They're like, what is going on? Somebody's attacking. This means war. This is what they're thinking. And so they took off and did their, I don't know what they did, but that's how it started. So they don't really, Devin, he was the kid who walked home 15 miles. Mm. So he has the eye on everything that happened that we know of. So he says that they were driving and they drove past the one vehicle, they drove to it and saw that Christina had already been shot and that she was on the ground outside. So she had gotten out of her vehicle for whatever reason. They don't know what happened. But they ended up being shot at as well. And he says that his mom tried to plead for help and said, hey, I have kids in here, please, you know, don't shoot us. And they ended up shooting her anyways and shot the kids. And I don't know why they let him go. I don't know. We don't know why they did this. It doesn't really make sense. They didn't take any hostages. It's not really, you hear about mafia stories, cartel stories. They're the most horrendous things you can think of. Death is easier, I think, than the things that happen when they kidnap people. But yeah, we just don't understand. It's pretty traumatic.
Oh, it's utterly, utterly appalling. So, Tiffany, why live there? Why do your families live there? Why do you choose to live in the middle of cartels who are likely to start fighting and, you know, you can get caught up in that?
Yeah, I guess right now, I don't know. Honestly, right now I'm like, please just move. That's just me. People have their livelihoods there. They've been grown. Lots of people do live there actually permanently, some of the older generation. But they have their trees, they have their pecan orchards. That's where they live. That's where they were born and raised. My grandparents moved down there years ago. My great grandparents actually moved down there, and so we've kind of been back and forth, a lot of us. But it's just home to people. But also, this has never been an issue for us. We've always just we obviously don't drive in the night by ourselves. We don't go down to Mexico without guys with us. Like, women don't travel alone just to be safe because, you know, there's crime everywhere. But we've never really felt like going home to La Mora is our town. We never felt like going home was gonna really take one of our lives. Otherwise, we wouldn't have ever stayed there that long because they've been there back and forth for years. And so...
Can I ask you about President Trump's response? Donald Trump has said he wants to offer help to the Mexican president. He wants to offer help with the war on drugs. That's been his focus. How do you feel about that response from President Trump?
I mean, I appreciate that he has recognized that this is an issue. I mean, we were at the point that we were at, the fact that this has gotten as much attention as it has is amazing. We didn't expect it to, but we were just asking for help from anybody at that moment when we were spreading it like wildfire. And we have a big family that gets stuff out there quickly. But we were desperate. We were begging for help from Mexico, and we were calling the American embassy in Mexico, and nobody was really helping us. They were putting us on hold. And meanwhile, we had children that we knew of that were out there shot and bleeding to death out in the mountains. And so we're just like, no one is helping us. We tried getting the FBI to help us from just the border states in America. And you know how politics work. You have to go through the red tape and you have to sign the papers, and it just wasn't going fast enough. And so, we were just desperate. We were asking for help from anybody. And obviously we're American and I love America. I support America and I support President Trump. But I don't understand all the politics of everything. I do appreciate that he has reached out, and I would love for something to, the drug cartels have gone on for so long, and I don't have the answers for how to fix them or to get rid of them. But my family is not the only family who has suffered from this. We're just some of the first Americans who have, and there are hundreds and hundreds of people who are dying by these drug cartels. And it makes me sad that they have infiltrated the government as much as they have, but
it's gone on for years, hasn't it? I mean, it just doesn't seem to be solvable, even though the war on drugs has gone on for years as well, with, you know, billions spent on it. Have you sort of formed a view on whether that's the right way to go, whether something else needs to happen?
Honestly, I haven't. I'm dealing with the trauma of losing my family. I'm not really into the...
No, that's fine.
I am into politics. I just don't know the answers of what's the best way to stop drugs. I see it, and I'm just like, this is... It's almost overwhelming to think because I know that I can't trust the government down there. There's good people in it. There's good people everywhere, but there's also a lot of corruption. And so it's hard to say for me. I don't know the answers. I just hope that they find some soon, because this is just terrible.
Tiffany Langford, I really appreciate your time today. I know it's a difficult time, but thank you so much for speaking with us.
Oh, yeah, no problem. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Tiffany Langford, she's a cousin of those killed and injured in that attack in Mexico.